Welcome to Ghostbusters, the radio show that talks about strange things in the neighborhood and weird stuff that don't look good. Talk about stuff that's messing with your head and crazy stuff that's happening in the bed. Why? Because many church folks have fallen in the darkness. And the Bible calls us to walk as children of light. The Bible says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Welcome, 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 ladies and gentlemen, the Ghostbusters, the radio show that talks about strange things in the neighborhood and weird stuff that don't look good. Ladies and gentlemen, for the last couple of days, we've been learning about our enemy. We've been learning about demons, learning about Lucifer, learning about the enemy. You know, one of the problems we have in the church is we are ignorant when it comes to the enemy. We're ignorant. And the scripture tells us to be not ignorant of Satan's devices. Don't be ignorant when it comes to your enemy. You need to understand how your enemy attacks you. And one of the questions that is often asked, do demons speak in tongues? Do demons speak in tongues? We're going to be answering that question today. The guest that we have on Ghostbusters today is going to be answering that question. Do demons speak in tongues? Because see, if I was the devil, I would make people believe that what's true is really false, and what's false is true. And I would give people counterfeits. And so, just like people speak in a true tongue, I would give them a counterfeit tongue. Now, that's what I would do if I was the devil. But I ain't the devil. I'm not the devil. But we need to study the devil that we can understand his devices. But get close to your radio and listen to Russ Diodar as he answered that question, do demons speak in tongues?
They see a church that's on fire for God. That's the church that gets targeted. You're in a worship saying, praise Jesus. They're saying, praise the Lord. They mean Satan. Satanists have a form of speaking in tongues, just like Christians. They can counterfeit any gift we have. The superstars of religion, could they be part of Program Multiple? They take all that information back to Covens. What's their ultimate goal? If they begin to be found out, they will disappear overnight. We're talking about satanic abuse, right. Rituals, the dark side, right. Program multiples, people who have been programmed systematically by another person or another group.
Right.
Is it possible that some of these programmers actually come out of the church, the religious system?
Based on their targeted infiltration, and that's the whole system, kind of like the tares. Remember the tares were to be right in the mind?
Right,
it fits that model. Yes, many of them have been placed into the church, because they have the ability to, like Satan, to masquerade, you know, like the servants masquerade also.
Right.
By day, they're the nice community leaders, but what they really were what they were downstairs. So the above ground, they're posers. That's the mask. And they love the idea of trying to pull the wool over the church, blaspheming God by doing this, and give a cover story for themselves.
Now, I don't want anyone out there to think I'm pinpointing a particular person. However, could it be that the preachers we see on television that are very familiar to us, the superstars of religion, could they be part of Program Multiple?
Over the years, because we have been tenacious about going after because I don't like this. For the sake of the body of Christ, right. I don't like that they're infiltrating.
Right.
I don't like that the church has been too weak in deceit in seeing this. Remember Acts chapter 5, Satan entered Ananias and Sapphira to infiltrate the church, to do harm.
That's right.
And Satan and Peter, of course, led by the Spirit of God, stopped that, saw that.
Right.
That's where we should be. But these guys are very sophisticated, very plotting. So I could say, and I'm not going to give a name, but I can say that there's people that I've seen on TV that I've questioned.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we have purposely counter-infiltrated and gone to churches looking for this.
Yeah.
Tracking this in the 80s, late 80s.
You actually walk into churches
looking
for this?
When we hear about churches where this is happening, where there may be one of these highly, you know, trained Satanist elitists and so forth that are doing things, in the Catholic system we've done this, in other churches we've done this purposely. By design, we prayer target it, we go back in, we want to find out if that's happening. You know why? Because I love the body of Christ and I want to go in there, and if you've got some bad infiltrators playing games, deceiving people,
right.
and maybe hurting,
right.
somewhere along hurting right. some kids in the nursery,
right.
I'm in there.
No, it makes us all look bad, especially to people that aren't Christians,
sure.
looking from the outside in.
Yep.
If someone's in the church, and they're, what should they look for in a, and what would you call these people in the church, these plants? Would they be programmed multiples?
Many times, they are. Because covens will send programmed multiples into the church for a number of reasons.
Okay, so we have covens.
Yep.
Would covens be in the church?
Well, not the whole, but not so much the whole of the group. But they may have targeted church because covens target churches.
Okay, the covens start. Is coven, is that a group or is that an individual?
A group.
Okay, the coven is a group. They target the church. They say, we want this church over here.
Right.
They've already created a program multiple, right?
Right.
And they send that program multiple into the church.
Probably after they've done summon demons and targeted the church in warfare, almost always.
Wow. And why would they target a certain church? Why?
Well, they might have a map of all the churches like they did in Ohio, all the Northeast Ohio area. They'll color code the churches to say, if they're weak, they don't care about them. If they're, but if they're strong churches, they may want to, in their rituals, summon demons and send them. Kind of like Revelation 16, that out of the mouth of the dragon, and sent the demons. Now, in that case, they sent the demons to the kings of the earth to draw them
right.
to Armageddon.
Right.
But summoning and sending is a major part of this, and we've seen this for, you know, now 30 years. They've been doing this to the church since the early 70s. And here's their story. If they can't affect the church bad enough with that, they will send somebody in.
Okay. All right.
They might come first saying, I need counsel, I need help, I need help me.
Okay.
That's the upfront, the mask side of it.
Okay.
Inside are highly trained priestesses, highly charged demonically personalities, that when you're in the worship saying praise Jesus, they're saying praise the Lord, they mean Satan.
Wow. You mean to tell me it could be in some of these churches when people are praising the Lord?
Absolutely.
With their hand, you've got demons or you've got program multiples, and Satan is
they love doing it
next to you praising Satan.
They really get their jollies over this, because they know they're pulling wool over eyes. They'll even speak in counterfeit speaking in tongues, the false demon given, and lay hands on people and want to transfer a demon.
So actually Satanists have a form of speaking in tongues just like Christians do?
They can counterfeit any gift we have. They have a demonic counterfeit to it.
Wow. And so... Okay, correct me if I'm wrong, but churches that are watered down, that don't mean anything, that are weak, chances are you're not going to find many program multiples in that, or Satanists, right?
They don't really care.
They don't care.
They're nothing to them.
Because they're not effective.
They're not a threat.
But they see a church that's on fire for God, that's the church that gets targeted.
Right. And in infiltration, in a design infiltration, they're already sending powers. They'll send somebody in. Here's some of the things they'll bring. They'll send a gift. They'll have a gift to give to the pastor that's been used in a ritual that has a demon on it with an assignment.
Wow.
Charged object.
So listen to this, guys, because Russ has given you some valuable information. If you have someone that's coming to the church giving the pastor a gift.
Yeah, we've learned consistently that that's the mode of operation, that when they're infiltrating, They want to target the pastor.
Okay, target the pastor, okay.
Target any. They'll go in and recon the church. They'll go in and can take information back to the coven.
Okay, would this be maybe a woman targeting the pastor through the demon of sex?
Well, that's one of the... See, there's methods. Some of it will be that they're going to target leadership. They want to first recon, get all the information they can, and give it back to the coven so the coven can send demons.
Okay.
Then they're going to target the pastor, give demonic charge gifts. Another method is calling him and monopolizing his time, taking, you know, the time. Third level, they'll start going to elders and prayer warriors and back and forth, and then they'll begin to say, well, he said this and she said. So the goal is create division.
Create division. So when I see a church split,
could it be by design? Sure.
That's mind-boggling. You know, look at all the church splits that go on every day.
And they also have sub-personalities in all of them that are highly sexually trained so that they can target a pastor or a leader with seduction. If they can bring the pastor down, that's a goal. Here's what I believe about PTL back in the day when they went down. My personal opinion is the girl that was brought in was multiple and used to help bring it down. Wow. That they were targeted. Jim Baker and all those guys were targeted. They were off. They knew that, you know, they should have known better in a lot of things. Okay?
Right. But they were weak in that area.
Right. But I'm just going to say this. I love the body of Christ. I love my, you know, the Savior. You know, I'm in the body of Christ. I want to fight for the body of Christ. I don't want to leave any brethren backslidden, fallen, whatever. I'm here to pick up anybody and stand with anybody. And it makes me, it outrages me that when, because the truth is they're very sophisticated. The church is not trained to look for sophisticated, programmed, demonized, highly trained infiltrators. And if they volunteer for the nursery, if one of these volunteer for the nursery, the guarantee is a sub-personality inside them will sexually abuse children.
And what is the ultimate goal of a program multiple and Satanists in a church? What's their ultimate goal?
To beat it, to bring it down, to cause such division, to cause such trouble, to bring a pastor down. We had a church in Pennsylvania where we did a couple of conferences. We heard some stories. We went back. Once they were targeted over and over, the pastor did go down into sexual sins. It turned into a big difficulty because it involved a multiple. It involved one of these individuals, and. And another method in this, and I have, you know, this is very important. Part of their method is if they begin to be found out, they will disappear overnight.
Wow. Because you know what? I've been in churches where people have just disappeared overnight.
If they're there, because again, they're masters at having an upfront mask, you know, praise God, I'm a believer, things like that. And yet, if they are one of these, they switch personalities to the demonized, the coven loyal. So again, they want to go after the pastors. They want to stop. They want to go after the prayer group and help stop it. They want to cause confusion. They want to monopolize time. They will recon the church. Here's what I mean: they'll get bulletins. They'll get information. They're always around asking a lot of questions about everybody, the pastors, where they live, where's the parent, you know, where's the kid. They want to know everything.
Right.
Because they take all that information back to covens so they can use it in a warfare strategy to summon and send demons against the church.
Program multiples in Satanists, are most of them women, most of them men? What percentage?
I mean, as far as those wanting out and getting help are women. Overwhelmingly, it's women. Now, we had a lot of guys involved. There's no coven that does not have guy leadership.
There's no coven that does not have guy leadership?
All covens have male leadership.
Okay, so all covens are led by men.
Right, they're led by men.
But there's women in the covens.
There's women in the covens always, yeah.
Okay.
And there's ranks. There's ranks of these covens. There's, you know, you can be a magus, you can be a wizard, you can be a sorcerer, you can be a priest, a priestess. So there's a lot of rank that involves what you accomplish, what you do, if you participated in blood rituals, human sacrifice, if you helped abduct a child. It's there's a whole array of status and ranking and position.
And that's a whole show in and of itself.
Yeah.
Now, the preachers that preach in the pulpit, and clearly they preach false doctrine, because the doctrine of prosperity, they don't want to offend people, they take scripture out of context. Mm-hmm. Could they be a program multiple, or are they just deceived?
Well, I mean, the truth is, there's a lot of, you know, there's times there's people that shouldn't be in pulpits.
Right.
I've been in the pulpit 34 years straight, you know, local pastor and so forth, and I've been in missions and doing what I do now. So I've been on the field preaching in churches for over 40 years. Big churches, small churches. I pastored large churches, small churches. The scriptures give a demand for qualification.
Yeah.
And in a corporate, national sense, there's a lot of churches that have been dumbed down theologically, and they don't believe the Bible, and so a lot of weaknesses have come in that grieves the Spirit of God, quenches the Spirit of God. Some of the evidence, there's no presence of God, there's no power of God.
Right, and but no, in those churches, the Satanists wouldn't come in anyway. You already said that. So
they wouldn't care.
I just answered my own question. When you got a preacher preaching false prophecy, sure, it's probably not a demon, because they don't need to be in there.
No.
It's already been taken down, right?
Yeah, they don't care about that at all.
Yeah.
For some reason, they like the Catholic system because of all the ritualistic stuff.
That was going to be my last question. Mm-hmm. The Catholics, these poor Catholics, they get beat up. I mean, we can't help it. We just beat them up. But I do love them. I love the people. You know, you have to love the people. But you just answered my question. My question is, why do the demons hang out in Catholicism, it seems? Because? Yeah.
Well, because, you know, there's a negation of the authority, the central authority of Scripture.
Okay.
So when you add in ex cathedra and all kinds of other things to where it reduces powerful, straightforward, biblical, empowered Christianity like Book of Acts, when you have nothing more than mysticism, when you confuse what salvation directly means and is, when you replace a lot of that with even some pagan things that have been brought in, beads and things. Yeah. So you have a really different system.
Yeah.
You have Christianity there in the veneer, and there's certain things that, well, Trinity, Virgin Birth, Jesus is God, he is going to come again. There's things like that they clearly believe. Yeah. But there's a lot of ecclesiastical things that have nothing to do with biblical Christianity.
What you're saying is demons just kind of like to hang around ritualistic type things. Catholics have them.
They love messing up the church. They love making fun of the church. They love disgracing the church. And we should realize that. Look at Peter and the disciples. Satan was asked to sift them. Yeah. Peter says later, after he finds victory and has victory, and we're all intended to have victory for sure. We're all supposed to have victory over the world, over the flesh, over the devil. And I've been preaching heavy a lot lately because we do a lot of exposure issues. But becoming the powerhouse that we should be.
Yeah.
The truth is, God designed us. We could be at the cutting edge, like Daniel in the book of Daniel, with all the cult leaders, all the Chandler, all of the Chaldeans, all the sorcerers. Here's what was said about Daniel. He was 10 times better.
Wow.
10 times better than the big sorcerers, the Chaldeans, the astrologers, the conjurers. I believe believers, with all that God gives us in Christ, can be 10 times better.
Absolutely, because greater is he who is in me, who is in you, than he who is in the world. We have the power, Russ.
We do.
It's just the church. Okay, this is my next show, but when we come back.
All right, we're going to stop the tape right there today. That was David Hevers with Russ Dildar, and they was talking about demons. All right, that's it for today. Thank you so kindly for joining us. Listen to us all day long, because we're in your corner right here on Ghostbusters.
I'll give you that.